Bibles up, and we're going to talk a little bit today about our life. You know, if we're really going to enjoy the life that God has given us, the Word tells us how God wants us to have an abundant life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. But if we're going to have that kind of life, there's going to have to be some things that we get over. And so we're going to talk a little bit about getting over it, okay? So if you would go with me over to the book of John, and let's go to verse 8 here. The book of John, chapter 8, and we'll do verse 1. It says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought into him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, we're talking about getting over things. And so one of the first things that you and I have to, if we want to really live this abundant life, if we want to receive what God has for us the way we need to, we've got to get over our mistakes. Come on now. Every one of us have made mistakes. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. I mean, we could go on a whole spiel of where was the man and how in the world, what were all these scribes doing there when they were in the act of adultery. So we kind of feel like it's a set-up deal to try to trap Jesus, because he said that's why they were there anyway, was to try to have something to accuse him about, you know, because they wanted to see if he'd go against the law. And so what Jesus did was Jesus used their own conscience against them. He said, the one of you that doesn't have any sin, you throw the first stone. Every one of us have had sin in our life, or have something in our life. We've made mistakes in our life. And here's the thing. Nobody can point a finger at somebody else and say, I'm better than you. You say, well, yeah, but now I didn't do what so-and-so did. It's all sin. Come on. And see, it's hard for us. It's hard for us to place a murderer in the same place as a liar, but when it comes to sin, sin is sin. And that's the way God sees things. He sees the sin, not the act. See, that's hard. I know that's... And I'm telling you this so that you understand that no matter what mistakes you've made, God forgives your mistakes, and you've got to forgive yourself, and you've got to get over it. God wants you to move on. She had to get over the fact that she had been an adulteress. And Jesus told her, he said, I'm not condemning you for this. He could have. But he said, I'm not condemning you for this, but I want you to go, and here's the key, and sin no more. It's not about just looking over what somebody's done. It's the fact that they've learned their lesson and they're not doing it again. You see, you know, just repeatedly keeping to do, then that's another story. But here Jesus tells her, he says, you know, you've been caught in this thing. I could condemn you over this thing. I could command that you be stoned. But he said, I'm not going to condemn you. Go and sin no more. Don't make this mistake again. You say, well, yeah, but it's probably premeditated. Well, it may have been premeditated. You ever made a premeditated mistake? Got both hands up. Come on, we do that from time to time. And see, here's the thing about this too, is we got to realize that every one of us has a past. Come on now. You see, a lot of times if we're not careful, we can get that holier-than-thou attitude and act like we don't have a past. Now, some people's got shadier past than others. You know, there's folks that maybe have lived a pretty good life all their life. And, I've talked to different people like that. And they'll say, you know, I've never drunk. I've never smoked. I never did cuss. I never did lie. I never did, you know. And you look at them and you think, wow, must be nice. But here's the thing. It don't matter if it was that person or is that person that drank, cussed, smoked, and lied. Once you get forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all on the same playing field. We're all on the same level. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us to whom much is given, they're the most thankful.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I am thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ forgave me for my past and cleansed me from my unrighteousness. And now I can stand before Him and know that I'm clean. My sins have been wiped away, thrown to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again.
Amen.
Amen. Do I still make mistakes sometimes? I sure do. What do I do when I make a mistake? I go right back to the one that forgives my mistakes. I go right back to Him and I say, Lord, I messed up again. I know you all don't do that. Now, you probably never mess up after the first time. I mess up again. And I go back and the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, thank God for 1 John 1:9. That's what the Word says. And see, that's where our hope is at. Because we understand that we've everyone got a past. Let me just show you somebody here that had a past. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor. He's taking him under his arm and under his wing, and he's helping him, and he knows the family, and he's trying to help Timothy and encourage Timothy. And listen to what Paul says, and understand this. Paul wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul, who was Saul, who had a past persecuting the... Remember? Saul is the one that was on the donkey going down and met Jesus on the way, and Jesus, the glory of the Lord, knocked him off his donkey and struck him blind. And Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Remember him? Let's read about him just a little bit. Here he's writing to Timothy, though, and down in verse 12 he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, that killed Christians when the New Testament church was just starting out. He had a past, but he said, I thank God that He counted me worthy to be in the ministry. You know what he just said? God forgave all that past, and matter of fact, put me on the front line of His army. Amen. Put him on the front line. He's preaching. Now Paul's looking at the same persecutions he used to spew out. But he's saying this, I had a past, but Jesus forgave me of my past. You have to get over your past. You cannot move forward living in the past. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Well, we know that. That's why when you drive a car, you got the big old front windshield and just a little bitty rearview mirror. All you need to do every now and then is just look back and check, make sure that you're all right from behind. Come on, but you need to keep making sure that you're moving forward. It's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. Come on. See, folks get all holy for some reason and start thinking that, you know, well, I'm better than this person. I'm better than that. You know, here's the thing, folks. You know, they wouldn't, if our past meant anything, there'd be no use doing jail ministry. Right? You know, a lot of folks that are in jail are murderers and this thing and that thing and all that. You know, but God forgives them just like He forgives us. You know, and we can look at people and say, well, now they ought not be forgiven. Well, that's God's to judge. We're not judges. Come on, if we got what we deserve, we'd have been dead a long time ago. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God that even though we've all got a path, and some, again, worse than others, that God forgives it all. When we ask Him to come in our life and be our Lord and forgive us of our sin, He does that and cleans the slate. Aren't you glad for clean slates? I am. I thank God for a clean slate. And so we got to be able to, first of all, get over our mistakes and then understand that we all have a past and we've got to get over that past. Don't let the past hold you back. Don't let it hold you down. Well, I tried this before and I tried that. You know, folks will do that sometimes. Maybe they came to church and somewhere along the line they backslid and now they say, well, I'm afraid I failed the last time. Don't look at your past failures. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I read up on it. But I forget how many times it was that Thomas Edison failed at trying to invent a light bulb. Failure after failure after failure. Bankruptcies. But he kept pursuing until finally they came up with a light bulb. You know, he's kind of been around now. It's been kind of past. Back in my growing up, one of the biggest names in baseball was Babe Ruth. Anybody ever heard of Babe Ruth? Most of us older folks. Babe Ruth held the home run record for many, 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 many years. And Babe Ruth was noted for taking, when he got up to bat, he would point where he was going to knock it over the fence at. And so when he rear back and he'd hit that ball, man, he'd go right where he pointed it. But here's the thing. Babe Ruth struck out more times than anybody else. He had a record strikeouts. Why is that? Because he was going for the fence every time. He wasn't going for the mediocre. He either hit it, or he struck out. And you could say, well, he was a failure then if he struck out that much. No, he held the record for home runs. Why? Because he never quit trying, even though maybe the last time at bat he struck out. He didn't let that bother him. I'm up again. This time it's going again. He'd point. You see, and that's what you and I ought to do. We ought to just stand and just point toward heaven. Don't matter what's behind us. Don't matter what we did yesterday, no matter what the mistake was, no matter what the past is, point to Jesus because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. If we follow Him, if we stay after Him, no matter how we've messed up, as long as we're asking, living that repentant lifestyle, we're going to make it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to make it. Just say, you just got to get over it. Right? Another thing that you and I need to make sure that we get over is we've got to get over our limitations. See, the church has put itself in a box. We've limited ourselves to the and Brother Rick says it a lot about mere human mentality. You know, we've limited ourselves in the way we think and the way we see ourselves, and we basically limit ourselves to what we feel like our abilities are. And see, what you've got to understand is you are not limited by your abilities if you're a child of God. See, you got to see that. And that's you can't live the abundant life till you realize that there's not a limitation on you. Jesus says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So you have to get over the limitation that you've put on yourself. I'll go take you to a scripture. Go with me to John 6. Let's jump over there. John chapter 6. Let's read from verse 1. Look at this. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he saith to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a land here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. In other words, as much as they wanted, as much as they wanted to eat. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets and the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now, here's what I wanted to bring out of that when we're talking about limitations. The disciples are there with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you know, we've got to get them something to eat. And of course, then they start, well, it's going, we don't have enough money to buy food to take care of them. And the other guy says, you know, we got the little kids here with the barley and the fishes, but that's not going to do anything around this many people, you know. And Jesus said, make them sit down. And when he sat down, he began to give out to them. And notice, every person got to eat as much as they wanted. And then they gathered back up the baskets that was left over. What I want to tell you, when Jesus is with you, there is no limitation. You can't look at the natural. You have to understand that there's a supernatural Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. So you cannot put limitations on yourself. Maybe you've tried something in the past before Jesus, B.C., right? Before Christ. But see, you're a new creature in Christ now. Well, you know, I've had this and I this habit or this thing that, you know, and I've tried before. Well, try again. You know, there's things that, you know, folks try to do things like they'll try to quit smoking. They'll try to lose weight. They'll try, you know, whatever your vice is. Maybe you've tried before, but have you tried it with Christ? Leaning on Him and asking Him to help you and truly asking Him to. See, there's a difference. And can I just tell you something? You have to want to. Come on. I just got kind of hushed. Maybe a little whisper. Yeah, you have to want to. You can't help yourself and you can't help somebody else if they don't want help. But you have to, I've heard people say, well, I'd like to quit these cigarettes, but I really don't want to. I like them. Well, you're not going to quit if you like it. Right? Come on now. You have to make up your mind. I am quitting this. I'm getting over this. I'm not going to let this hold me back. Come on now. Don't set a limitation. Don't think, well, I've tried that before and it didn't work. It don't matter. Try it again. And again. And again. And again till you get it right. And see, here's the thing that the devil does too. At least, can I just speak from my experiences? You know, one of the things for me has always been trying to lose weight, trying to eat, quit eating so much sweets and whatever. You know, and as soon as you break over, anybody ever break over trying to do something? As soon as you break over, the devil whispers in you and says, well, you've done it now, you might as well just go ahead. Come on, like, and you know why he does that, don't you? Because he knows that's exactly what you want to do. Right? You broke over and you eat, you know, that big a piece of cake. You know, well, you've already done it. You might as well see what you want now. You've already broke over. And, of course, a lot of times I oblige him. I'm just telling off on me. I know you all don't do that. I know you're very, very well disciplined. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Pastorette is kind of my discipliner, you know. And she says, you shouldn't tell people that. They'll think I'm mean to you. And I said, no, she's just because she loves me. Right? If you love somebody, you'll try to help them. God loves us and He tries to help us. But if we won't take His help, then we can't get that help. So we have to understand God wants us to go past our limitations, but we are the one that sets those. You set them in your life. Nothing is impossible to you in your finances, in your health, or whatever else it is you want to do. In your businesses, in your education, no matter what it is, we're the ones that limits ourselves. It's not God. Amen. So we have to, if we want to live this life, we've got to get over the limitations that we set on ourselves. Amen. We have to. Now, the Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct thy paths. Look at that. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. See, there's promises to you that get you past your limitations. I preach on it a whole lot because it's just one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But in Numbers chapter 13, when they're getting ready to possess the promised land, the children of Israel limited themselves. They went over, spied out the land, because that's what God told them to do. They came back, said it's just like God said it is. Nevertheless, there's the Amorites and all the Ites are over there. Besides that, we saw giants over there. We were grasshoppers in their sight. They limited themselves. They said, God, you told us the truth, but we can't. And Caleb and Joshua was there saying, oh, no, wait a minute. Now, we're well able. Let's go right now. See the two mentalities? One was, we've got limitations here. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And then here's the other two with no limitations and says, let's go over at once. We're well able. Well, you see, these were looking at their own ability, but Joshua and Caleb had said, God's with us. And if God's with us, they don't have a chance. And see, that's what you've got to realize. As long as God's with you, no matter what it is, it doesn't have a chance against the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you and you cooperating with Him in faith. So don't let the limitation stop you. You can do anything you want. Did you hear what I said? Even in the Old Testament, at the Tower of Babel, God came down, and these weren't people that had the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. They were just, these people were people that were just had their mindset, and they started building a tower to heaven, and God came down to look to see what was going on, and here's what God said. Nothing that they set their mind to will be impossible for them. And that's when He confounded their language. They were trying to build a tower to get to God. And He said, anything they're imagining right now, they can do. And so we have to realize, if they could do that, what can we do? Come on, so you've got to get a hold of that. You've got to get over thinking like the world thinks. And their mentality of believing that, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. And we're not. You can do it. Look at your neighbor and say, you can do it. Amen. You can do it. Why? Because you're going to get over setting limitations for yourself. Now, I'm going to get into this last little point here, and we'll not try to keep you too long, but the next thing that you need to get over if you want to live an abundant life and have the life that God promised you is this. You got to get over yourself. You got to get over yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and please don't take this the wrong way, because I've been telling you how great you are, but all the ways that you're great is including Christ. Because He's in you, right? Not because of who you are just as a human being. You are a good person. You may even be a great person. But without Christ, you're nothing. Your righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. Right? So when I talk about us getting over ourselves, I'm talking about us getting over this human nature, this pride, this thing to think that we are somebody. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. And so we have to get past that. In the book of Daniel, there's a story of a king, Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king. He had a big kingdom, and God had literally blessed him. Nebuchadnezzar is one of the ones where Daniel was there, and the three Hebrew boys. That's all in Daniel. That's all through this kingdom rule here. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and nobody could figure out the dream. All of his magicians and his enchanters, and they could none figure it out. And so he brought Daniel in, and Daniel began to interpret the dream for him and tell him what's going on. He said, you know, basically he said, you know, your kingdom's going to be taken away from you. You're going to be like a wild beast for 7 years, and then it'll be restored back to you. Well, you know, the king didn't kind of think that something like that's going to happen. So the Bible says he's walking around in his palace, and he's looking around at everything that he's got. And as he looks around at everything he got, he looks and says, look at all this that my hand has gotten me. What was he doing? Well, he's on himself right there. He was on a ride to, you know. And the Bible says, and at that moment, that's when it happened. It hit him. And he became like a wild animal. And the Bible said his hairs were like feathers. And his fingernails were like claws. He became like a wild beast for 7 years. Out not knowing anything. And then after the 7 years were accomplished, just like that, he came to himself. And he comes back in because in the prophecy, in the dream had said he would rise back up again. And the Bible says that God was showing Nebuchadnezzar that he was God. He was showing him that he wasn't all that in a bag of peanuts. Okay? He was letting him know everything you have is because I've given it to you. And when you think you got it yourself, you messed up. And I just wanted to show you that. Now I'm going to give it back to you because it was a great kingdom. And he did honor Daniel. And so he gives him his kingdom back. And Nebuchadnezzar then makes this statement. He says, everybody's going to serve God because he's God. Everything we have is because of him. See, he learned his lesson. He got over himself. And that's what we have to do. Remember Peter? Peter kind of got on a little selfish thing. He's following after Jesus. And now, as long as he was with Jesus, he had even made the comment, Lord, even if you die, I'll die with you. You remember that? If you read the Word, you'll find out. And so Peter's following afar off as they're taking Jesus and putting him before councils before they crucify him. And he's getting cold and he goes over and starts warming himself. And some people look at him and say, weren't you with him? Oh, I don't even know the man. And then after a while, somebody else called. You were with him, weren't you? No, I don't. I told you I don't even know who he is. And this little girl called. Yeah, he's with him. I seen him with him. And I blankety blankety blank blank tell you I'm blankety blank. I know. I don't know him. He wanted to make himself try to stand out and not be like Jesus. And the Bible says that when he did that the third time, that the cock crowed. Jesus had told him, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. The Bible says that Peter went out and he began to wept bitterly. What happened? He got over himself. He realized, hey, I ain't all that. Without him, I'm nothing. You see, and so you and I, we have to do that. We have to realize, thank God, I'll be honest with you, people are saying, you guys are building a nice big church up there. And I say, give God the glory. Every time Pastor Ed and I, when we're driving out through there, when those trees are bloomed and it's beautiful out through there, you know, we drive out there and say, look what God has done. And when the fall, when they're red and they're beautiful and people are stopping taking pictures of them, look what God has done. You know, you're all part of it. Some of you have bought a tree, you know. But what I'm trying to tell you is when you look around here and you see what God has done, He did it. He did it because I realize who I am. I got over myself a long, long time ago and realized whatever God wants, that's what we want. Whatever He says to do, that's what we want to do. And if we'll do that, church, we can live the blessed life. Pastor Ed and I had a hard time. We've always, you know, we grew up together. We got married when we were 18, just while everybody else was going on the high senior trip. We were probably getting married, you know. So she turned, I've told this before, I turned 18 May the 10th. She turned 18 June the 4th. And we got married on June the 16th, you know. Moved in a rented trailer, had used furniture, you know. I was working by that time in a little strip mine that didn't pay a whole lot of money, got laid off every winter. Times were tough. And so we know what it's like to live rough and not knowing that God wanted us blessed. Come on, we went to church, but we had never been taught that God wanted us to live this life, and there was things we needed to get over so that we could get. We had that mentality that this is just the way poor folk live. And we were poor. I've told you this before. I took my high school ring off and went and got it melted down so we could have money for groceries. Amen. It ain't always been like this. We've had to trust God and we've had to get over some things. And one of the things we had to get over was our pride. We had to get over our pride and realize that God did want to bless us. So we had to get over our pride and allow Him to bless us. And God uses people to bless you. And sometimes that's so hard for us to allow somebody to bless you. Now, God's blessed us in many other ways, but God uses people and God uses things and avenues. And you've got to be able to get over yourself and say, if this is what God wants, this is what I want. Amen. And so we've learned to just trust God and not let ourselves get in the way or set the limitations because of us. We've learned to get over ourselves. I'll never forget. I mean, when we were still in the little building down here, Brother Rick and Debbie and Darrell and all those, they had been a part of a church over there that shut down, and Sister Carl was part of that, and they came over and joined up with us. Well, I knew that they had been under some teachers, man, that knew the Word, really knew the Word. So I felt very intimidated. That's a good word. Intimidated by them, because I thought, what in the world can I preach to them or tell them that they've not already heard? Well, it wasn't about teaching them something they'd already heard. It was about just staying in the Word, confirming the Word. And I think they've learned some things from me, and I've learned some things from them. You know why? Because I didn't think, well, I'm the pastor and I'm not going. No, I've learned to get over myself. Now, thank God for the people that respect me as pastor, and that's biblical to do that. But at the same time, I sure don't think I'm any better than any one of you. And if you don't believe that, come back with me next time we've got a commode stopped up. Ask Brother Charles. I'll get right down there and dig the poop out of that hole that's when it's stopped up with. Right, Brother Charles? Brother Charles is over gagging. I can't do it, Pastor. I can't do it, Pastor. Get out of the way. What are you digging with here? Yeah. See, so it ain't always this. It ain't always this, but here's the thing. I got over myself and I didn't say, well, I'm the pastor, that ain't my job. And some folks will do that. They go, well, that ain't my job to do that. It's all of our jobs. We're all in this thing together. Amen. So we got to just get over ourselves and realize it's all about Him. It ain't about us. And when we learn to do that, God can bless us in ways that you just would not believe. I'm still astonished at this place. I'm still astonished at what God has done here. Now, we still owe on this. We still make payments. But you know what? I know how to believe God for payments. And you're sitting inside a facility with the properties on this side of the road and that side of the road. This is worth like over $3 million. In the Gulfin County. Come on. If you don't know that's God, you don't even know God. Amen. It's not because of me. And it's really not because of you. It's because of Him. And so we might as well get over ourselves, because God sure ain't done. And let's let Him continue. I mean, you're getting ready to see. Listen, you're getting ready to see some miracles take place going to blow your mind. And whatever you do, you cannot take credit. I can't take credit. Nobody else can take credit, because it'll be Him. Now, that don't mean that He won't use some of you to be involved in those things, because He will. He's going to use me. He's going to use our ministers. He's going to use us to be involved. You're going to see. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to see miracles take place while you're out, when somebody stops you and says, well, you care to pray for me? And you're going to see miracles take place out there. Because, see, that's where Jesus needs to be glorified, out there. We all love Him, and we'll all glorify Him in here. But Jesus is going to start making Himself known outside through you, through signs and wonders and miracles. Get ready for it. It's getting ready to happen. That's what the Holy Ghost just said. So you just get ready for it to happen. So take the limitations off. Get over yourself. It won't be you. You realize that, right? Come on. It won't be you. Just cause the water hose lets the water come out. That don't mean it's the water. Right? It's just the avenue that carries the water. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. You just got to get over yourself. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." See, we can overcome. God has this plan for us to live this life and enjoy this life, but it includes putting Him first. And when we do, man, we just get over all that stuff that's holding us back and we'll walk in the greatness and the glory of God, because that's what He wants. He wants us walking in that thing. Why? So that He gets glory out of our lives. The Bible says that Jesus Christ endured the shame of the cross for the glory that was set before Him. That glory that was set before Him was you and I. As He was on the cross, He looked down and He saw humanity. And He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You've been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But you have to accept that forgiveness and then begin to walk in the fullness of God, what God wants you to have. Amen. Can we pray? Stand.